Prejudice. Wrote a song about it. Like to hear it? Here it go.
Free your mind.
Up with us during the week. Listen to show highlights and daily memos and more. Just follow Elizabeth on Twitter. Keyword Doherty Report. Once again, here's Elizabeth.
Orlando attorney Jim Turner has practiced law for over 40 years. He now specializes in consumer rights. Back in 1998, he represented an African-American man named Ted Ward, who worked as a groundkeeper at Country Club of Orlando. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
So what happened in that case?
What happened was a gentleman who was a groundskeeper at the Country Club of Orlando came to me with a complaint that he had about being discriminated against. And the policy that was employed at that time by the Country Club of Orlando was that they would allow groundskeepers to play golf on the golf course when there were no other guests at the time, except that did not apply to African-American workers. So the African-American workers were prohibited from golfing at the course based on their race.
That sounds even worse than segregation.
It was. And one of the things that the Country Club of Orlando employed was a way to get around rules of discrimination was that they had a private club. And while they wouldn't prohibit you from service, such as you could at a lunch counter, you can prohibit someone from service. They couldn't do that based upon race or ethnicity.
Right.
But they could do it based upon membership.
Well, let me ask you a question. What does private mean? What is private?
Well, private really, it doesn't apply anymore.
Right.
If you have 15 or more employees.
Yeah.
Specifically this case, and I think we should be careful to limit it to this case. This case was brought under the Title VII of the 1964 Civil Rights Act. It was enacted, I think it's coming up on its 52-year anniversary.
Right.
There's a program coming out. Bryan Cranston is playing Lyndon Johnson, and he goes through the struggles of passing the law, similar to Lincoln passing the 13th Amendment. It's a great, great corollary, and great for me because it's something that I'm excited about. So what Mr. Ward's complaint was discrimination based on his employment and based upon his race. So it was specifically an employment case. It wasn't an admission to the club case, which is different and
it's
a little
different.
Bit more complicated. Right?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you know, they used to have cotillion, and that's how I first found out about the issues there, because there was a black girl in my class who wasn't allowed to go. And I said, okay, that's not cool at all. And that's how I became aware. And I gave that story to a guy named Mike Siegel, who is part of the Siegel family. You know, I'm sure they've changed now. Do you think they've changed?
Well, I do think they've changed. And let me explain one of the things that brings about change. It isn't always as a result of enlightenment. Sometimes it's a result of economics. And to me, a good example was the University Club. The University Club is still a club, and it was notoriously restricted. And it was restricted on gender. It was restricted on religion.
Mm-hmm.
And it was also restricted on race. And there were efforts to change it. And then all of a sudden, the Citrus Club popped up. It was a great club. It was completely open.
I like the Citrus Club.
And it's a great club. It's got a great view. And so people didn't want to join the University Club anymore. So the University Club had to expand its demographics to be able to take in more people, and so that's one of the reasons why they opened it up, and they did, and now it's an open club. So I think that the same has to have happened to the Country Club of Orlando. I haven't kept up with their policies and practices, but I think that these policies are in the dark ages.
So he was prohibited from playing golf, but his white coworkers were allowed to do so.
Correct.
How do you justify that?
Well, how did they justify it? I'm not sure that they ever articulated it, but I think that what they felt was is that some of the members would be offended by seeing African Americans playing golf. I mean, that's the only thing I could think of, and it can't be justified on any legal grounds.
Unbelievable. So what happened in your case? I mean, how did that go?
Well, it went well in terms of results. First of all, we requested documents from the Country Club of Orlando, lists of all the grounds, names of the groundskeepers and their race, which they resisted. And we also requested any policies that they had regarding playing on the course. And we thought that it was relevant if they had any restrictions on admission to the club, because if you discriminate, the legal proof theory or reasoning is that if you discriminate in one facet of your service, then you discriminate in another. So they didn't like that, and they resisted.
They were discriminating on the admittance. I know that.
They were. But they didn't want that to come up in the lawsuit. They didn't want that information to become public, which it would if it's produced in a lawsuit.
When you did your discovery, were any of those policies in writing?
They weren't in writing, no. We didn't find them in writing.
In case you're just joining us, we're talking with Orlando attorney Jim Turner about Country Club of Orlando. And so now, do they have black members of the Country Club?
I don't know. I haven't kept up with the Country Club of Orlando. I know that the University Club is open, but I can't speak with any authority about what their present admissions policies are.
We're going to find out if there are black members and Jewish members, because both of those were excluded.
Correct.
I really appreciate your time. I'd like to keep up with you on what you're doing. It's just wrong. It's just wrong on so many levels.
I agree.
We've been talking with Orlando attorney Jim Turner. We appreciate your time, sir.
Okay, great.